Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Waiting Room, the show that challenges you to thrive, not just survive, in every area of your life. This is your host, Drew, and in this podcast, I'll be talking about the realities of waiting in every season of life. How we wait is more important than the wait itself, so waiting well is what matters. In this episode, I'll be talking about different money personalities. We spend our money is largely influenced by our personality. There are five or four or seven, depending on who you ask, major personality types. There's a big spenders, savers, shoppers, debtors, and investors. Many of us will overlap as far as a personality. So you might have one dominant personality and then a secondary one. So it might be hard to change your money personality overnight, but you can create strategies to overcome habits that compromise financial well-being. So remember, just our personality is mainly formed by habits. So I'm going to be talking about the five money personalities and just the characteristics of each one. And there are some personality quizzes that you can take to determine where you fall in all of this. Number one, we have the big spenders. These people love nice things. Luxury cars, cutting edge technology, high fashion. They might even be gamblers. So if you're a big spender, you need to shift your focus from short-term satisfaction to long-term goals. Before buying a big ticket item, consider the need and the joy it will bring, whether you actually need it, whether it's a want or a need. Limit purchases to things that you will use and value. Above all, ensure you're saving, making wise investments, and living within your means. Okay, so a lot of times big spenders tend to live above their means. And something that one of the personality quizzes mentions, they get into the root of the issue. Why are you like that? So they might bring up some like childhood trauma, or just habits that were instilled in you as a child based on how you grew up. So a lot of times you might have grown up in poverty and you never want to go without, or you just always felt ashamed of not having enough. So you want to, you're overcompensating when it comes to being a big spender. But the most important thing is that you're living within your means and you're focusing on needs instead of just wants. Okay. Number two, we have our savers. These people shop when they need to and generally avoid debt. They prefer to own things outright, so they'll save up for a car or they'll save up for a larger down payment on a house. They can embrace a strict budget to accomplish this, and they might be viewed as cheap by others. So other people might call them frugal or misers. So savers cut back on non-essential expenses and go without when necessary. They care more about growing their bank account than acquiring new things, and they tend to be conservative with investments. So if you're a saver, don't forego all the fun to save a few cents. If mandatory expenses are covered, debts are paid, a saving plan is in place, and funds are available, it's okay to spend a little sometimes and just live a little, because, you know, you've worked hard for your money and you've worked hard for your savings, so you can afford that. All right, number three, we have the shoppers. These people find spending emotionally satisfying, even for stuff they don't need. They are aware of growing debt, but shrug it off. They shop for entertainment. They love bargains, even on stuff they won't use. Now, I am not necessarily a shopper, but I do love bargains. I always go for the clearance rack and just paying full price, because I feel like the markup on a lot of things, clothes, sunglasses, is ridiculous. So sometimes paying the original price is kind of like, I could have gotten a better deal on this, because considering the value of the thing that I am purchasing. So I am a bargain shopper, but I wouldn't consider myself like an impulsive shopper. But here we're talking about the impulsive shoppers. So if you're a shopper, you want to take control of credit cards. You don't have to sign up for every credit card they offer you. It's okay to say no. I know some people, it's harder, easier said than done, but if they offer you a credit card, you do not have to sign up for it. Okay. Track your income and your expenses. Create a plan to pay down debt, because if you're a shopper, you probably have quite a bit of it. Contribute regularly to savings. So plan ahead. You know, Christmas is coming, you know, birthdays are coming. So start putting money aside every paycheck so that you're not overspending when that comes. If money's left over, then you can spend some of it. Splurge a little. Ideally, allocate spending money in cash and stick to your weekly limit. So just give yourself a cap. Say, okay, I'm going to spend this much this week. Use cash instead of credit cards to prevent impulse buying and overspending. Switch your focus from shopping to saving. So if you use spending as retail therapy, find a healthier way to lift your moods. You can go exercise, you can hang out with friends, whatever, cook, find a hobby that doesn't require you forking out money every time. Number four, we have the debtors. These people don't shop for entertainment or to make a statement. They simply don't manage your finances. They're neglectful. They're just complacent when it comes to their finances. They generally spend more than they earn and carry a loan balance. Some use debt for a higher standard of living than their income supports. They use credit cards like a source of income, but that doesn't work out at all. Debtors don't put much thought into investing. So if you're a debtor, make a plan to get out of debt. Create a cash flow plan and track your income and expenses. Know your financial situation. Determine a savings plan. Pay down debt and invest. So know where you are right now and then where you want to be, and then create a plan. If you make $100,000 a year, but you have $50,000 in debt. Okay, so once you've calculated how much you've spent, how much your expenses are, and your income on a monthly basis, put more aside for your debt payments or to pay down those debts so you can get out of the hole. The last money personality, number five, these are our investors. These people are acutely aware of money. With a thorough understanding of their financial situation, they carefully consider financial decisions and investment risks needed to reach goals. If you're an investor with a thorough understanding of your finances, keep up the good work, continue to make your money work for you. Once again, you still want to find that balance. You know, you can't just not enjoy life or live life simply because you are constantly investing. So that money that you invest can work for you. As I mentioned, it is possible to change your money personality, but it does require effort. It's not just going to happen through osmosis or just you thinking about changing your money personality and then boom, you're different. You're going to have to apply yourself, and it's going to hurt. It's going to, because you're changing a habit, you're changing a pattern of life, you're changing a thought pattern. You know, you're going against what's natural. You're not taking the path of least resistance. So it's going to require a lot of energy. But some ways that you can change your money personality. First, make a commitment to financial stability. So you have to commit to it and make up your mind. Because when things get tough, it's going to be easy to regress or want to go back to what you were doing before. So you have to make up your mind and say, you know what? No, whatever happens, I'm going to stick to this plan. I'm not going to spend more than I'm making. I'm not going to spend more than this amount of cash every week and stick to it for a while until you have built that habit of not overspending. Also, educate yourself. Read financial books, articles, listen to financial podcasts, talk to people, get a financial advisor, but educate yourself. Ignorance is not always bliss. Sometimes that will come back and bite you. So just learn how to get out of the situation that you are in, because you're not the first one in that situation. There are plenty of others, and you can learn from them as well. And another way you can improve your money personality is to stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. Just because they buy a new truck doesn't mean you need to buy a new truck. If they buy a new boat, you don't need one. If you don't always have to impress or to prove a point, stop focusing on what others have and focus on where you are, where your life is at this moment, what you can afford, and your standard of living. Okay. Another way to improve your money personality is to make goals and write them down. Don't just think about it. Once you write down your goals, you're more likely to achieve them. Okay, so whether it's buying a house or a car or paying off student loan debt or paying off credit card debt or saving X amount of dollars in so much time, write down your goals and then work from where you want to be backwards to where you are and set up a plan, you know, whether it's putting aside $100 every paycheck or cutting up all your credit cards so you stop the bleeding, stop spending more, and then work on chipping away at paying those off. And the last advice I have to improve your financial personality is to just be grateful of what you have. So gratitude goes a long way. And I think if you appreciate what you have, and instead of focusing on what you don't have, you'll find that you won't need as much. We really don't need a lot to survive. You know, we need a roof over our heads, clothes on our back, but you don't need high-end fashion. You don't need 5,000 square foot home if you can survive with less. Okay, so be grateful of what you have and just appreciate where life has you. The Bible tells us that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So that's just a scripture from 1 Timothy. But this is one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. Money is not evil. It's the love of money. Okay, that's the root of all evil, because we end up doing things that go against our morals, our conscience, ethics, in order to get more money. You know, we violate ourselves, we violate people, we violate God. If we love money so much and we're always trying to get more, we can just have the right perspective when it comes to money and put it in its place. You'll notice that life will be a lot simpler. You'll be more content with what you have. Okay. So I actually have several money personality quizzes in the description, and I did a few of them. So I'm going to share my results from one of the money personality quizzes I did. It's the Empower quiz, and it was pretty informative. I learned a lot. So if you have a moment, just take one of the quizzes and just see where you are with your money, and that could kind of give you some insight of what you need to work on. So on the Empower quiz, I was told I'm a stockpiler. I'm always saving for a rainy day just in case. So for the stockpilers, your superpowers, you have a sixth sense for finding a great deal, which I'm always looking for great deals. I'm a bargain shopper. And your money nightmare is having your most financially irresponsible friend be in charge of your savings. I hadn't even thought about that before, but that would be a nightmare. All right. So what money means to stockpilers is that you're not cheap. You're frugal. You have plenty of money to spend, but you don't see the point of wasting any of it. After all, isn't it better to have more money than you need than to need more money than you have? And then they also go into a little bit of the root of the issue, what causes you to be whatever personality you have. So for the stockpiler, says when you're growing up, financial security wasn't a guarantee and being frugal came out of necessity. Your parents may have grown up in poverty or political instability and passed on that scarcity mentality to you. So I can actually say this is a little bit accurate here. I know my mom growing up, she'd always share stories of her growing up in poverty. So we always had what we needed, but it does get sort of passed on from one generation to the next, that mentality. So it's just being careful with your spending. And some people, it's the opposite. They grew up with more than enough and money was not an issue. And now they don't make as much as their parents did, but they're still trying to live the lifestyle that their parents were living, and they end up in debt. So I think these personality quizzes, money personality quizzes, are very insightful. Now, they might not be 100% accurate. Of course, each person is different, and you cannot just summarize 8 billion people into 4 categories. We all have different backgrounds and habits and personalities and characteristics and all that, but kind of gives you insight, especially if this is something that you're trying to work on, and you can know, okay, this is where I need to start, this is where I need to go, or this is who I am and how I can change that. Moving on to the book recommendation, this segment, I mentioned this in the last episode, but I recommend Get Good With Money by Tiffany Alice. The link is in the description. You can buy it from Thrift Books and get yourself a copy, or, you know, find articles about money or listen to podcasts, videos. There's so many resources out there. We cannot say, you know, cannot be ignorant or just be complacent when it comes to saving or spending money or, you know, getting out of debt. So I encourage you to apply yourself so you can start reaping the results of all that effort. So that is it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you for joining me here in the waiting room as I'm talking about monies. So look out for my next episode where I'll be talking about budgeting. And in the meantime, please share this podcast with a friend. I'd love to hear your feedback. You can email me at thewaitingroom@gmail.com or follow me on Instagram or email me through my website. All the links are in the description. Until next time, take care.